Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Leadership for Tomorrow Starting Now. My name is Hugo Santos. I'm one of your co-hosts here at the University of Wyoming and Casper. And here...
Hi, I'm Rochelle Green. I'm the director for our Organizational Leadership Program at UW-Casper. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
And today we have...
We have Mike Howe. Thank you, Mike, for coming. Mike is a seasoned public affairs professional with over 25 years of experience working in the energy industry. He is a proud Wyoming native who has been professionally and socially active in the state for many years. His experience began in Wyoming with the Wyoming Municipal Power Agency, and then he went on to serve two Wyoming governors, Jim Geringer as an advisor to the Wyoming Energy Commission, and Governor Dave Friedenthal as the policy analyst focused on local government and transportation issues. Oh, that's awesome. After that, Mike spent some time teaching college full-time, and then working for utilities in Oregon, Washington, and Wyoming.
Mike is also a widely published freelance writer and has hosted a syndicated radio program in the past as well. Mike has also donated his time as a civic leader everywhere he has lived. This includes serving on nonprofit boards, chambers of commerce boards, advisory boards, and professional and trade association boards. He has been a Rotarian for over 15 years and is now a member of the Rotary Club of Casper. Mike earned his BS in political science from the University of Wyoming and an MA in political science from Midwestern State University in Texas. He has 5 adult children and 6 grandchildren. Welcome, Mike. How's it going today?
Yes, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, yes. That's impressive. Had a lot. I did not know until today that you had teaching experience. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I taught college for about 3 years in Colorado. So, yeah.
That's great.
And online, a number of other places, too.
Well, great. So, kind of a broad question, Mike. What does civic leadership mean to you, and how has it shaped your approach to serving your community?
Well, what it means to me is really taking time to give back to your community, and whether that's the local community, the state, the country, the globe, whatever it is, it's just taking the time to give back. It doesn't mean you have to be necessarily a leader of a board. You don't have to be the chairman or anything like that. You don't even have to serve on the board to be a civic-minded community leader. You can volunteer your time. I mean, there's cleanup days along the river here in Casper. There's a whole variety of things like that. Really, it's just a way to give back. And there's 3 ways you can really give back. It's with your time, talent, or treasure. Time and talent are the ways I primarily choose to do it because, well, I don't have a lot of treasure. So that doesn't mean I don't donate, but I don't have what a lot of other folks have, right? So, I mean, my name's not going to, there's not going to be a building named after me or anything like that, but I do have the ability to give time because I've always worked for great organizations that encourage giving back, which is important, and spending time in the communities that we serve and being a leader there. So it's just a way to give back, and so that's what it means to me. My approach has always been get involved with the community. One, you get to meet a lot of really good people, people that are like-minded and care about your community. I mean, if you're going to live there, you may as well do what you can to help make it a better place. Leave it better than you found it is what one of my friends always tells me. So just, yeah, just giving back and leave.
It was really good. I know. I already made my note here.
I didn't make that up.
Yeah,
that's fairly common. Time, treasure, talent.
Really
I've
like
never
it.
Heard that, but I really like it.
So can you talk a little bit about how your path through civic leadership, like how did they start with you? Was something that you felt, if you think was a call, was like something that was always in you, or was a moment, was a person, or like how did you get into that?
Well, you know, I don't really know how it started, but I know why I do it. And I had a lot of good fortune as a child and growing up, had great parents that worked hard, provided well. I mean, we had things we needed, that kind of thing. And then when I got to college, I got married fairly young and had kids fairly young, and so struggled a little bit because it's tough to go to college and work full-time and honestly still try to give back a little bit. So I had a lot of folks that helped me, and I wanted to be able to give back when I was able to later. Again, donate where I can, but really it's more time and talent. So when I was able to and had a job, started working, I started to find ways to give back to the communities.
You had mentioned your parents about, you know, having a great upbringing. Did they ever model that civic leadership as a child? Did they get involved?
No, they weren't involved in various organizations to the extent I am. Yeah. But they always did and were able to give back where they could, whether it was like the local parent-teacher associations mm-hmm. or those kind of things. So they did, but not yes. kind of like on the board levels that I do and other things like that.
No, that's really cool. And coming back again to the 3Ts and like, the parents, it's really cool because I was, as you were saying, I was thinking about my family too, like how mm-hmm. we, a lot of that, for me, translated as like neighbors helping neighbors
mm-hmm.
too. And yeah. I just started yeah. starting with that and then growing into something bigger, which is
absolutely,
I thought was really,
yeah,
really
that
cool.
is cool. My mom would always get involved like in Lions Club or whatever. And
sure.
I remember her saying as a child, like it takes a village.
Right.
And even though that may have mm-hmm. been her one claim to fame, she didn't do 100 things like we're doing too. I get that. But like she did, she kind of instilled, planted that seed early. It's great.
And as you grow, get into the civic leadership, and you talk about, okay, there's many ways I can serve, I can donate my time, my talent, my treasure. What was the biggest, some challenges that you faced when you do the, like, in this process? Or some bigger, like, wow, that feels, that's, I'm really passionate about it, like some of those big contrast moments.
Yeah, so some of the challenges, even today, is one of the T's itself is time. I mean, life is busy, right? I mean, we all have a lot of things we're doing. Our jobs take a lot of time. Family takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So then trying to find the time to actually give back, if you get excessive in giving back your time, like I have on occasion, I'm trying to pull back a little bit and pick and choose a little bit more, but it can become overwhelming, and then you make some mm-hmm. sacrifices mm-hmm. at in other parts of your life, which may or may not be good. So that's one of the challenges, I'd say, is just time. Life mm-hmm. is busy, and trying to meet all the commitments that you say you can do, and then, you know, things yeah. pop up with work and you got to handle that. Yes. Things pop up with the family and all of a sudden you have to disappear for a little bit and mm-hmm. handle that, and then your organizations you're helping support might suffer a little bit as well. So that's one of the challenges. I do find one of the other challenges now, especially when you serve on a board or you're part of an organization that is fairly public. How to say it nicely, it's everything seems to be political mm-hmm. now. So, I mean, there's even the smallest ideas or the smallest efforts, no matter how well-intentioned they mm-hmm. are, there's always someone who
labels it.
Will label it. And I mean, and oh my gosh, if you put a post on Facebook that you did something good, there's probably mm-hmm. dozens of people that'll comment how what a waste of time and money and effort that was.
Yes.
And so it can be disheartening at times. So you got to, if you're going to take leadership positions like that, you got to have a little bit of thick skin too, uh-huh. because that's a challenge.
Yes, it is. And so since we're talking about that challenge now, so how do you think people that are starting this process or aspiring into becoming leaders in these specific areas, how can they deal better with like communicating without giving opportunities for people to mislead it, or how they can reinforce their mission or their goal when they are offering those services? Because I understand it's challenging, but like, is there any recommendation, any tip that you might have, like some cautions?
My biggest caution is slow and steady. It's the same thing I tell mm-hmm. told my kids when I was teaching them to drive. Slow and steady, especially in bad weather. Just slow and steady. Take your time. Most changes or most things you're going to implement or want to implement aren't going to happen overnight, and there's always going to be naysayers. So just slow and steady. Make sure you have all your facts lined up, your ducks in a row. Talk to the naysayers. I mean, don't be afraid to have a civil conversation mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. Sit down with them. And just know that change is hard, especially mm-hmm. if you do have a vision and you want to change some things. Change is hard and scary for people.
Yes.
So you had mentioned backing off, you know, like, because sometimes it can become too much with time being uh-huh. a challenge. Do you find saying no can be a challenge at times, like especially depending on the organization? Like, how hard is that?
I do find it hard to say no, which is why I end up with mm-hmm. too many things. But
speaking for...
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely it's tough to say no, especially if it's an organization you really believe in and really want to help. And I mean, I've been invited to join a couple other boards here in Casper. I've just had to say, no, I can't mm-hmm. do it. I mean, I love your organization, but it's just not feasible. Yeah. And also sometimes the passion level's not there. I mean, you might mm-hmm. like the organization, but if you don't have the passion for exactly what they're doing, it's still hard to say no. I mean,
that's a good point, though.
No, yeah, you have to think about like you as well, right? Otherwise, you just give, and then at some point you don't
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so in that sense too, what do you think time, you said like time sometimes can be very limiting. If someone still wants to serve in a way or contribute in a way, but time is really limiting, is that something like that too little of a help or too little of a service? Like, how do you think if someone doesn't have time, like how they could still find some way to contribute, even if it's not to the level that they would like to?
Right. I see what you're asking. And no, I mean, even if you can give a little bit of time, it's still fabulous. I mean, you mentioned I'm been a Rotarian for over 15 years, and I've been in three different Rotary clubs just because of moving. And you know, I've been the president of two of them, including the one here in Casper. And I found that there's certain members that really, really engage and could do, and they get involved in almost everything. And then there's other members that maybe they can't do that, but when they do show up, the passion's there, they're effective, and maybe they just like this one project to work on, and it's still incredibly helpful. It does good for the community, it does good for the organization, so it's there's no such thing, in my opinion, as too little to give back.
Awesome.
So you give what you offer what you can offer,
yeah,
and then you focus on...
Yeah.
So Mike, could you share like a time that your leadership made a big impact on your community? Is there something you can tell a story about? Or?
Well, I can try, and I'm not sure it's a... Big impacts are tough to define, so so I'm not real sure how to define that. And anything I've accomplished, it's really because of the others that have been volunteering too. So it's, I mean, anything I talk about is really not me. I just happen to be one person. But when I thought about this, I came up with two examples, and one's more local and one's more global. So the more local one, I was the chairman of the board for the Casper Chamber of Commerce during and immediately after COVID. So, I mean, the community shut down, businesses are shut down, a real challenging time, and being part of an organization that is supposed to promote businesses and celebrate businesses when they're closed, and things are locked down, we can't do our business after hours and all those other things. We had an executive director leave during that time. There was a slew of challenges there, and luckily had a fantastic board and fantastic staff still there. One of the things I thought was, again, I don't know if it's a big impact or anything, but we were able to put on a banquet almost immediately after, right at the tail end of COVID, I think. I was trying to think of the timing. I mean, everybody spread out, and every time somebody spoke at the mic, we wiped it down, sanitized everything. But we took the time to, you know, celebrate our first responders, and it was great. I think it had an impact, because not only were we celebrating first responders, but businesses, people were able to actually gather again and just kind of celebrate that maybe we can start to get life back to normal. And I don't know if it was a big impact, but it felt needed. And it wasn't because of me, though. So, I mean, you said leadership and something I did. I mean, the staff, the other board members, the business people. I mean, just it was an incredible time. It was a weird banquet with all the sanitizer. Every time I touched the mic, I just sanitized. I don't know. But nonetheless, that was a big impact.
It's amazing.
And the other one I can think of is I'm part of a, not the board, but kind of an advisory board with an organization called Shelterbox. I also am an ambassador for them, and I have a leadership position, obviously, as Shelterbox Ambassador Council. And so my job is to go out and give presentations to groups about what Shelterbox is. And real quickly, it's an organization that after a natural disaster, people are displaced by conflict, we provide shelter for them.
Wow.
And so I go raise money and promote it, build awareness. So I like to think my little efforts there have a big impact when there's like an earthquake in the Philippines, and then we respond and we help get people shelter. Wow. So I call that my global impact. But again, it's because of the people that actually go deploy and put these up. And all I really do is go raise awareness.
That's wonderful. And both of those examples would have had such a huge impact on people's hearts at that time.
Yes.
Because coming out of COVID, I mean, that was traumatic, being sheltered, especially for people that are social creatures. So,
right.
I mean, that probably had a lot larger impact than you even realized then.
Like, you didn't even know much about yourself.
Yeah.
And then you were like locked in those rooms. And
yeah.
So how do you, so you're talking about like the importance of those celebrations, right? How do you keep people motivated, your team motivated, or your collaborators, or your other leaders motivated into the mission?
Well, that's a great question,
right?
That's, and that
take
can
your
be,
time, take your time.
Well, that can be a
question. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, that's a big question. It's an important question, and that can be challenging because, again, not Not everybody necessarily agrees on directions or anything like that.
Yes.
I think there were even naysayers when we had that banquet, the Chamber of Commerce, so soon right after COVID. But there are a lot more happy people than not. So keeping people motivated and the team motivated, I think the key is just communicating and being open about the direction you want to go and always being willing to listen to other ideas. And at some point, people might decide they don't want to be part of it and they'll move on or so that's a tough one.
No, I had a kind of a follow-up to that because you said, you know, if people don't agree, that's a topic that's been coming up a lot in our program, in our leadership program, is that we haven't had a lot of education around conflict resolution.
Right.
So if you had, you know, on one of your boards, and I'm sure you have much experience with this, if you start to see conflict arising, like what is one strategy you might use to reduce that before it becomes a larger conflict?
Not a hard question.
Well, just encourage communication. I mean, I was recently listening to a different podcast on communication, and one of the ideas that was presented was, you know, if there's going to be conflict, and there's going to be conflict, but if you have conflict between two people, that's great. Get them together, and if you're part of it, propose this. I mean, because, I mean, I'm not conflict-free. I have conflict, so and I'm going to try this with in the future, and that's, you can say anything you want when you're having the conversation, but before you start sharing your ideas or your thoughts, you have to describe what your perception of the other person's views and opinions are. And you can't share yours until they say, that's right.
Yes.
Which means you now understand their perception. And then they have to do the same with you. And in this podcast I was listening to, talked about if you can do that and you can both get to a point where you say, that's right, because that way you both know, you both understand the other's perception, then you can actually have a meaningful dialogue.
Yes.
I've not tried that yet, but I'm going.
Yeah,
but that's important because you don't have to agree, right? But understanding is different, is really important. And they use those techniques very similar to that in negotiations as well, right? Because like, how can we get into agreement if I don't really understand what's actually valuable for you, what you actually want from this, from this interaction?
Actually, the podcast I was listening to was about negotiation.
Was it really? If you ever read the book, The Getting to Yes, I forgot the author, but like they address a lot of that.
Okay.
That understanding. So it's a good book.
No, that's great, because I can imagine in some boards where people are very passionate about a topic that you would occasionally see conflict like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And and it just makes it so that you have to at least understand what the other person is saying.
That would make a really fun exercise. Try that among our UW Casper staff. Next time we have a conflict, say, okay, this is what we're going
to
do.
And I think it's so important too. Like, so you talk about conflict management and keeping people motivated. Have you ever went to a place that we were in an environment that everybody were kind of in the same page, but that kind of limited your progress? Does it make sense? Like,
yeah.
Sometimes you get in the plateau because everybody's really happy there, but they're not ready to leave out of that comfort zone because everybody feels safe in that space or they feel like accomplished. Do you think that could be something that could become an issue too? Or
absolutely,
it should be addressed.
Especially if you have a bigger vision and want to accomplish more. That makes it very challenging when everybody's kind of content and happy. But at the same time, if you're not moving forward, you're really not moving. So, I mean, you can't evolve.
Biking.
Yeah, I mean, there's reasons we don't have horses going up and down the street anymore. We have cars. I mean, you have to go with progress. And, I mean, we're all adapting to AI now. We're all adapting to a whole slew of things. If you get too comfortable, in my opinion, you won't take advantage of the new opportunities that arise. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to change and evolve.
That's really good.
And I actually see that some of the organizations I serve on, the Wyoming Business Alliance, I'm on their board of directors, and that organization's evolving and it's changing and it's kind of refocusing efforts with new leadership, staff leadership, and a great staff and great board members, and they're kind of evolving on how they advocate and support businesses around the state. It's just they're not doing the way things have already they're not doing things the way they've always been done, and I think that's going to lead to greater success.
So to get.
Yeah, no, just so when you say it's evolving, is a lot of that involving technologies and different things when you say like how they're advertising different companies around?
Yeah, a lot of different technologies and a lot of new focus on important issues that have kind of not been addressed in the past. Just and it's going to be for the benefit of the state, I think.
Great.
That's really exciting. And how do you, so when you talk about technology changing cultures, you're, I think that's something that you kind of see that as well, like in the process. Like when you talk about like, okay, maybe having new technologies and then you see the evolving of cultures and generations and whatever right. it is, but that's something more, I feel like more intrinsic to some people or some communities.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure I'm understanding the question.
Yeah, sorry. So, no, I was just like reinforcing that when you okay. talk about those changes and like being prepared to them too, that I think there's a lot of aspects of change that need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
And like when you're getting comfortable, like, okay, we're going to be going back again to people that think similar to you or people that address the conflict, there's so many levels of those differences that can be brought to the table that can add that to that. And sorry for confusing.
No, that's all right. Well, it gets more complicated too when you're on a board or something and then board terms expire or something. You're mm-hmm. always getting new members and you're always having to learn to play nice with mm-hmm. somebody new.
So for you as a leader, how do you prepare yourself for those changes? How do you prepare yourself to be, try to be open to listen or understand other people's sides? Because like, this right. can be challenging too, right? It's easy to get ourselves into those situations that sometimes we feel a little more resistant.
Right.
Right. Naturally, it's human nature.
Well, I'm still working on that. I've had times where I have failed miserably and that. Preparing myself and listening and being open to that. So I think it's a process. I mean, you just have to keep growing and that. So now what I do is I guess I don't read them because they're audiobooks, but I read a lot of books now that have kind of helped me with my communication style, mm-hmm. my approach to challenging situations. And when I remember to use those skills, things seem to go well. You got to keep your emotions in check, which mm-hmm. isn't always easy for people to do. It's the greatest negotiation book that I've read is Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. And I've great skills, incredibly effective, unless you try them with your significant other. Because there's too much emotion involved. So you got to kind of keep the emotion out of it.
That would actually be good practice, though, mm-hmm. to do it with your, because that would be like a time when you would have more emotion, right? So it could be good practice. So for people that are not in formal leadership, because there's a lot of people that might want to contribute to
right.
positive civic change, but if they're not already in a leadership position and they're not being asked to join a board or something, do you have any suggestions? Like how could people still get involved if they're not in leadership?
Just volunteer. Every organization mm-hmm. out there needs volunteers, mm-hmm. whether it's a nonprofit or a trade association or something like that. They're always looking for volunteers, especially someone who has time and talent. They will, well, of course, they'll all take treasure, but
yes.
time, mm-hmm. especially time and talent. So basically, just find something you're passionate about or you care about. I mean, if you love the river, go help on cleanup day along the trails and the river. Mm-hmm. If you love business, go volunteer at the Chamber of Commerce or go volunteer. I mean, just volunteer your time.
Yeah.
And then you never know. If you want to be on a board, that gets your foot in the door, kind of. I find a lot of organizations are really looking for good board members, too. So if you really want to do that, and I'd recommend it. It's a great way to develop leadership skills, interpersonal mm-hmm. skills, and learn how to navigate change, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to grow as a leader, regardless of what your profession's going to be, because I know this goes out to students a lot. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what your profession's going to be, just giving back the time and learning from every organization that you work a little bit with, and it's just a great growth opportunity as well.
And that's kind of who I was thinking about, like with our students or maybe a recently disabled veteran or somebody. And it may seem kind of simple to you and I, but if they don't have like an advertisement that says volunteer here, or like how would you suggest that they go about reaching out? Like, you know, that part I think could be intimidating for people.
I could see that being intimidating, but I can also say you shouldn't be intimidated to do that, because most of these organizations are begging for people to come ask and volunteer and then to grow with them. Try not to be intimidated. Figure out just one cause or one area that you're interested in, even if it's different from what you're studying or what your career is, and just do a quick Google search, an internet search, and find an organization in the community and just send them a quick email or make a quick call.
Yeah. I think it just goes back to like the... Just get it started, right? It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be changing the whole world right now. Like just right. one step at a time. Get to know what your passions are. Get to know the people. Make those connections. And then things kind of happen. Most of the time, things kind of happen naturally on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, when I first joined, for example, Rotary, I did that honestly for a more selfish reason. It was because I wanted to network a little. Mm-hmm. But now I'm passionate about Rotary. I'm passionate about their foundation. I'm passionate about what Rotary does locally and globally. And it's how I learned about Shelterbox. And so now it's good to know other people in the club. But for me now, anyways, it's not about that. I've grown with it. I understand what it really does, the impact it has really made over the past 125 years of its history. So it's become just more important. And then I accepted a position on a board, and then they wanted me to be president. And then I've gotten involved, I've become involved at other levels and in other ways because of that. It was a growth opportunity for me, and I've and honestly, Rotary's provided a lot of leadership training and a lot of other things like that. And the other civic organizations, I think you mentioned Lions and those are all great too. Same thing.
I was invited to speak at a Rotary club meeting not too long ago, and what I found so beautiful was there was this teenage girl there, and you could tell she was nervous, and she got up and spoke on behalf of her organization at one of the high schools, and watching all of the community members just essentially wrap their arms around her. They were asking her for flyers, and you could just see that nervousness go away, and her teacher was with her. Yes. And it really was cool to watch the community just embrace her.
Yeah, and that's probably even more so than whatever organization she was representing. Having that exposure and seeing that, I mean, some of these clubs can be intimidating to walk in. I mean, some of these places, I mean, they're not just a regular person like me. These are high-powered people. I mean, I'm intimidated to go into these clubs, and I've been a Rotarian for 15 years, and I walk in, and I'm like, wow. Yeah. Why am I allowed to sit next to you? Okay, this is...
No, but, and again, like, it's really nice to be reinforced in that you get nervous. That's our nature. But you get one step at a time. People will embrace you. Like they see your passion, they see your interest, and there's a lot of community around it. And for as much as you can feel a lot of intimidation. But like, I think once you let that phase, or that mentality, that feeling go away, you really notice that how
Absolutely.
Embracing like that thing is.
And then the next time you ask, it won't be as scary. Mm-hmm.
And then help the next person. That's,
then you'll be on 15 boards.
Yeah. Then you'll start getting invited to do more. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to have a
boring question? No.
Okay, so one of the last questions we have here is like, what advice would you give to the next generation of civic leaders looking to make a difference? And I think we kind of brushed a little bit on those, but like, what will be your main like go home lesson from this?
Okay, well, I have three, and this first one's not the three, but just always remember there's time, treasure, talent. There's three ways to give back. And again, there's not going to be any building named after me anywhere because of a big donation I make or anything like that. There's probably never be a plaque on a wall because I'll never make maybe I'll make a big enough donation for a small plaque. But again, you don't have to do that. You can give your time. You can give your talent. There's organizations in the community, they appreciate that. They appreciate the time. They appreciate the talent. And time is so valuable. I mean, there's so little of it. There's so many ways you can spend it. I mean, if you volunteer for an organization, you're taking time away from your family, right? So just remember that part. Time and talent are important too. And then just choose to give back to something you're passionate about or have some passion in. And maybe you don't know you have level 10 passion, but if you have level 3 and you start to give back, maybe it'll grow to a level 10, and then you'll grow with that organization or that cause. And then I guess my last piece of advice, if you can, regardless of what your degree's in and what your future holds, if you can, work for an organization the values, the community, values you giving back. I've been incredibly fortunate in my career. Mm-hmm. Every company I've worked for has encouraged that and supported that, and it's a source of pride for the companies I've worked for. And I won't work for a company that doesn't support community and civic engagement.
What a great point.
Yes.
And it could be a question you could ask even in an interview or when
Absolutely.
You're talking to a company, you know, how do you get back to your community?
You should ask.
It's an interview for you to know the company to know you. So it goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
The values have to.
And that's great. Ask the company how they give back and how they support the communities that they serve, but then how they support the employees doing the same. And again, I've been incredibly fortunate with my companies.
I'm happy to hear that.
Still loving the three T's. I don't know how I made it this far in life without knowing that.
I know, right?
Again, I did not make that great. Up. I wish I did.
No, I appreciate it. I made my notes here. I'm going to make sure to use that.
Me too. I have a book written down. You gave me a book to read. Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah. And thank you, listeners.
See you next time.
Bye.